Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! Ha-ha! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. This is a Thanksgiving edition of Drive Time Sports, and anytime we have the holidays, we always play a couple of my favorite national sports interviews, and that's exactly what we have in store for you today. It's been about 2 months since we were joined by the only four-time heavyweight champ in the history of the sport of boxing, Evander Holyfield, was a guest on the show. If you missed that, we're going to play the two-segment interview. Also, we're going to talk to former Oakland/Los Angeles Raider wide receiver Clifford Branch. He's trying to get into the Hall of Fame. He's got the numbers. Should he be in? We're going to talk to Cliff Branch as well. He joined us this past summer around the time of the Hall of Fame induction. So two very good interviews, and that's how we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving weekend here on Drive Time Sports. When we return on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, we're back right after this.
Have you been waiting for the perfect time to buy a new Ford? That time is here. Hurry down to Auto Farm's Price Auto Group today and take advantage of 0% financing for 72 months on Ford Fusion, Focus, Fiesta, Flex, Taurus, Edge, Escape, Explorer, Expedition, F-150, F-250, and F-350. With this big of a selection, there's a Ford for everyone. Don't pass up this incredible time to save, even if you had credit challenges in the past. Now is the time to buy your new Ford at 0% for 72 months. Come into Auto Farm's Price Auto Group today. 0% for 72 months on all new Fords won't last long. Ford Credit OA.
Every time I walk through the doors at Big Don's, it's like I've entered my own little Italy, with a twist, of course. You see, there's pizza, and then there's Big Don's pizza.
Huh?
You'll know exactly what I mean when you try the Mexican Fiesta. It's like a top-notch taco on a pizza, or the Hawaiian Luau. One bite of the shredded ham or the fresh pineapple, and you're walking the beaches of Waikiki. Or my personal favorite, the Greek Street. Greek sausage, spinach, artichokes, feta cheese. What's not to love? Pizza's not just pizza at Big Don's, located at 170 West, 100 South.
Surprise! All your family's coming to your house for a holiday party. Don't stress about spending hours grocery shopping and cooking. Call Big Mo's Eatery and Bakery and let them cater for you. Big Mo's can cook a wonderful Dutch oven dinner, or you can choose meat and cheese trays with pasta or potato salad. Don't forget the mouth-watering rolls, yummy cookies, or fresh homemade pies for the whole crew. All you have to do is pick it up and make sure your house is clean. Let Big Mo's take the stress out of the holidays. Call 636-0451 for delicious holiday catering.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
So thrilled and excited to bring in our next guest. He's the only four-time heavyweight champion of the world. He's probably most famous for his victories over Mike Tyson. And, of course, he was an Olympian back in 1984. And now he is a spokesperson for United Games, which is dropping a new app in October. For all sports fans, we're going to talk about United Games coming up here in just a bit. And, of course, about his illustrious career. Over the phone right now, we have Evander, the real deal Holyfield. And, Evander, first off, I can't stress enough how grateful I am for you to take out the time to join us on the show today. It is a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
First off, you're kind of affiliated with United Games, and we're going to talk about United Games here in just a moment. But for those listeners, we have to talk about your professional boxing career. You're known as probably the greatest cruiserweight that ever lived. And then, as I mentioned, you're a four-time heavyweight champ, the only four-time heavyweight champ. As far as your boxing career goes, boy, you're second to none. It's hard to find a better resume.
Well, you're absolutely right, because you know I've been a, you know, when people look at my career and not bragging, I just tell people I was the only undisputed cruiserweight champion ever. I said, could nobody beat me. I said that's the reason I moved up to the heavyweight division, and you know, of course, you know, and I've done it four times. I did it more than anybody, and so that's. It speaks for itself, I guess the most important thing, I'm thankful for the people who given me the opportunity to do so.
As far as your professional boxing career goes, I mean, it came to a close a few years back. I mean, you were out. You were determined to become a five-time undisputed heavyweight champ of the world. Unfortunately, I thought you were robbed in the Valu fight, and we can talk about that in just a bit. So in my mind, you won that fight. But I mean, outside of that, you really never got that chance to become a five-time heavyweight champ. What have you been up to since your fighting career's ended?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm trying to come back, get back. You know, I had such a luxury career. And I felt that only reason I became who I am because people talked to me. People told me how to do it. You know, at 8 years old, I was told that I could be like Muhammad Ali. And I got a chance to meet Larry Holmes, Joe Frazier, all these champions. I got a chance to see, you know, like the Spinks, Michael Spinks and Leon. And the reason why I speak about them, because, you know, as a kid living in the ghetto, the Spinks brother was the first two people that I've seen that kind of lived the kind of lifestyle that I live. You know, you don't choose your parents and you don't choose your neighborhood. You don't choose your skin color. But these two guys won gold medals in 76. At that time, you know, that gave me the inspiration to know that I didn't have no excuses because, you know, the young people kind of looking for something that they always looking for something where they say, well, you know, I can't make it because of this. But because I've seen the Spinks brother do it, that gave me inspiration that I could do it because a lot of times people told me, you ain't smart enough. Y'all don't have anything. You'll never be anything. So when the Spinks brother did it in the 76, that gave me the fight that I need to feel that I can make the Olympic team an idea.
You talk about the Olympics. We go back to 1984. You're a bronze medalist. Again, you were on the wrong side of a very shoddy decision. Is that something that you still think about today, having that bronze medal instead of that gold, which you more than likely would have gotten had you advanced in the tournament that year?
Well, you know, I'm actually, you know, when I look at it, it showed me that things happen to everybody. You know, you don't get to choose, I want this to happen to me, I don't want this to happen. But when a thing happens, you just have to handle it the proper way. Because I think because of that, the incident happened, it allowed, you know, I was in the bronze medal, but we had 9 gold medals and we had 1 silver. But I was a bronze medal. But I got all the accolades that allowed me to have a great career. How my career jumped off. My first fight was in Madison Square Garden. And, I got the fight on prime time at 9 o'clock in the evening. I'm the one that opened the show. I'm so, it's so many great things happened afterwards, but in the process that happened, you know, I would have loved to got the gold medal, but on the point that I did, it was my good attitude that gave me an opportunity to prevail in and continue to do well afterwards.
You talk about some of the great things that happened to you after the 84 Olympic Games. One of the most epic trilogies in boxing involves you and Riddick Bowe. Riddick got the better end of that deal, winning 2-1. You lost for the very first time in your professional career that first fight against Riddick Bowe, but you bounced back and became a two-time heavyweight champion. How important was that trilogy to the Evander Holyfield legacy?
Well, I'm telling you, set the instant. If you know, just think about it. If I would have, Bo beat me, then I came back and beat Bo. But at that time when I beat Red Bo, before I lost in Red Bo, I thought I could beat anybody that had hands. I'm talking my mindset started changing. I thought I could actually whoop anybody with two hands. And to Red Bo beat me, and when Red Bo beat me, then it humbled me. And I had to go back to the drawing board. And I went back to the drawing board, came back and beat him. But a lot of people don't even realize that even in the third fight, I fought him, and he won that fight. But that's the reason why I got an opportunity to fight Mike Tyson, because all of a sudden after that Bo fight, and when I didn't fight Bobby Chiesgood, everybody thought I was washed up. So it's bounced back again. Here I am. I would have never been it. I would never been, because Red Bo was a big guy. Didn't nobody want to fight Bo, and because Bo finally got me, then my next fight wasn't too good with Bobby Chess. Then everybody kind of thought I was washed up. They thought I had a bad heart. They thought I just wasn't good. And so, fortunate that in that situation, people didn't think I could do it, and I did. And I think every time when you prove people wrong, it kind of stands out a little bit more.
Yeah, it definitely does. And of course, everyone's going to point to the two fights with Mike Tyson as your marquee victories. You had a brilliant comeback fight against Michael Moore. You were able to avenge a loss there. But if we talk about the Mike Tyson victory, specifically the first one where you won via TKO, is that the marquee victory in your mind, considering the buildup for that fight? We had to wait years and years to get it, and the storylines developing out of the Olympics, and then finally getting it in the mid-90s. Is that the marquee victory on your resume?
Well, I actually think so. But I think, even though with Lennox Lewis and all the other people, I think, it was the fact that the people wanted to see. I don't think you get your opportunity to say which one of these fights gonna be the fight. It was the fight. And I truly believe that fight, like Ali said, I shook the world up, because then somehow people didn't think that. They said, ain't no way a good guy like Evander can beat a mean guy like Mike Tyson. This is in their mindset. It was drilled in their mind that, they looked at me not tough because my mother told me all that cursing and all that bragging stuff is. See, my mama didn't want me to be that way. And I, of course, when I'm an adult, I chose not to be that way because I felt that it worked for me. Not just saying the first thing that comes to my mind. And it works. And then because I made so many mistakes, just like everybody else. But my mama always told me a good attitude will carry a lot farther than your talent. And here I am today. I'm still able to go out and do wonderful things.
Again, our guest right now is Evander, the real deal, Holyfield. Evander, I got to ask you, when the official stops that fight, that first fight against Mike Tyson, and you're declared the winner, what was that feeling like? I mean, obviously, you knew you were going to step in and win. You had the confidence. I've watched that fight several times. It feels like you dominated Tyson throughout the majority of that fight. I believe it was stopped in the 11th round, if I remember correctly. So when you go back over it that night, what was it like for you?
Well, the whole thing, it was almost like I did it. And that's it. And the only thing that I want the people to know that I did it. Mike Tyson is one of them guys that everywhere I walked, somebody was telling me what he gonna do to me. It's not like Mike said anything to me, but all the fans that had this thing. I had people just look at me and say, look, man, I like you, but God, dog, but ain't no way you can handle Mike. It's a lot of people divided by, but everywhere that I went, This is what. I tell me, even at home sometimes, some of my family members would like be look at me like that and say, yeah, you wait till you fight Mike Tyson. My whole thing is, but at some point in time, when it came, and I was able to persevere through the old tough situation. I'm saying, it's kind of difficult when people at your own house are telling you that, you're good at two shoot. You think you all that? It's not that I thought I was anything. No more than I knew that my big principle was just hard work. You work hard and you do your very best and you don't quit. And that's it. And those are the things that allow me to pretty much be the person who I am today.
Evander, the real deal, Holyfield, joining us right now over the phone. Evander, I do have to pause for a quick commercial break. I have a lot more I'd like to talk to you about, including United Games. Is that okay if we break? You have time to come back? Can we take a break?
Go ahead.
Excellent. We're going to pause for just a second. More with Evander Holyfield coming up here on Drive Time Sports.
Do you enjoy working with animals and being outdoors? Then USU Eastern has the perfect degree for you, a Bachelor's in Wildlife Sciences. The Bachelor's program is taught on the USU Eastern Price Campus. In this program, you will learn how to analyze, manage, conserve, and restore rangeland ecosystems. The degree also offers opportunities to work hands-on with faculty members in the field and participate in cutting-edge projects. If you would like to get paid to work with wildlife in the great outdoors, contact Mike King at USU Eastern today, 888-202-8783. USU Eastern, transforming lives for good.
During this holiday season, you have a chance to help Desert View Federal Credit Union support law enforcement. Desert View Credit Union is accepting donations to purchase car seats for children who have been in accidents and small denomination gas or gift cards. You can help by making your cash contribution at the Desert View Credit Union Huntington or Farron branch. Make this holiday one where you care for those in need. Call 687-2472 for more details. Happy holidays from Desert View Federal Credit Union.
Dr. Kyle Jeffrey is a board-certified general surgeon in our area that schedules office visits in both Price and Castledale. Dr. Jeffrey has experience with breast surgery, gallbladder, pancreatic, liver disease, and upper and lower gastrointestinal disease. And, of course, common preventative procedures such as endoscopy or colonoscopy. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Jeffrey for either Price or Castledale, call 613-7874. That's 613-7874.
When your car sounds like this, and you trying to fix it sounds like this, you most definitely need some help. Head to J&D Automotive in Castledale. They're number one in parts and service. If you need a quick diagnosis, they got you covered. If you need an individual part, they got you covered. Or if the job is just too big and complicated for you to handle, they got you covered. J&D Automotive in Castledale and Green River.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the time. 37 seconds in round number 11. Our referee in charge, Mitch Halpern, stops the contest. He's the winner by way of technical knockout in a stunning upset. The new WBA heavyweight champion of the world, Evander, the real deal.
That's Jimmy Lennon Jr. on one of the most classic, epic nights in boxing history. We go back to November 9th, 1996, when Evander Holyfield stopped Mike Tyson via TKO in the 11th round to win the WBA heavyweight title. And we actually have that man on the phone with us right now, Evander the Real Deal Holyfield, the only four-time heavyweight champ in the history of the sport. And we're going to talk about his new business venture, which you'll have an opportunity to join right alongside of him. But before we move away from your boxing career, Evander, I have a couple of more questions for you. We just talked about Mike Tyson. You had two fights with Tyson. You won both. The second one, of course, is the famous ear-biting incident where you were dominating that fight. I thought it was kind of a cop-out on Mike Tyson's point to end the fight. You were dominating that. We've talked about your win against Michael Moore, your win against Riddick Bowe. Out of all those fights, Evander, when I go back and I watch your tapes, one of the more difficult fights, you had success, but one of the more difficult fights you had finishing a fighter was against George Foreman. So where does that fight rank all time? Beating somebody like Foreman and even going through the struggles that you had to get that victory, because, boy, he absorbed a lot of punishment from you in that fight.
Well, the difference was is that, George and I were both Christians. And so people started saying, all right, then what's going to happen now? Because both of y'all are Christians. I swear to God, well, let both of us do our very best. And, you know, and in that fight, man, it didn't make no difference what I hit George with. George was always able to come back. And it was amazing, you know. I knew that he was older, you know, he was 42 and I'm 29, and I kind of felt that I supposed to win, but people kind of put this thing that you got to knock him out, and I could knock that big guy. I hit him 18 times in a row after a clean shot, and, you know, he was able to handle it. And so, you know, when the bell rung, people told me, they said, you could knock the old man out. And, you know, my attitude is, well, you know what? I tried, and I couldn't, but I won the fight. And of course, and George showed you in the next time when he fought Michael Bourne, he knocked him out. He's letting you know that if you disrespect, these things can happen. I'm like, you know, after George, after me, after all the people I ever fought, he hit me the hardest in the end of it. You know, and everybody said, well, you know, you fought all the great fighters. I said, but I'm telling you, I said, George was just that strong. And, you know, and if you ain't respect that power, you can get cashed out quickly.
So out of all those guys, I always remember the quote from Muhammad Ali where he said the closest he ever came to dying in the ring was that fight against Joe Frazier, the Thrilla in Manila, the third fight. So out of all the guys we've mentioned, George Foreman, Riddick Bowe, Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, which guy possessed the biggest challenge for Evander Holyfield? Which guy took you to the brink of just mental and physical exhaustion to the point to where you felt like Muhammad Ali that night?
Well, that was the white Muhammad Crawley. That's my first championship fight when it went 15 rounds. And we both had to go to the hospital. And, you know, and I was young. I was 23 years old. But, God, man, after the fight, I told my manager, I don't know if I want to fight him more. I was that exhausted that, you know, I remember how I felt. And I just realized I ain't want to do it no more. And my manager told the doctor, you got to gain something wrong with it. Because I would tell my manager, you can have this belt. I don't want to do that no more. Because, you know, after the fight, I won. But I was, you know, and, you know, I remember then at 23 years old, you know, I lost 15 pounds in the fight. And it was just, you know, it was so exhausting. I didn't know if I ever want to do that. And my manager at the time told me, said, Evander, you'll never fight a fight as tough as that again. And you know what? I never fought a fight with tougher than the Dwight Muhammad Crawley fight.
Well, Evander, we'll step away from your boxing career here. I understand you are excited to be a part of a brand new sports app. It's called United Games. I'm a part of this app along with you. I'm excited for it as well. You're one of the spokespersons for this exciting sports app.
Well, yeah, it's a great app, man. And, you know, with me personally, is I think sports is the thing that brings people together, and the people got an opportunity that they can play, they can join Team Holyfield, which is a great opportunity for people to come together.
Yeah, definitely is. So when you're watching sports with your friends or your family or really anyone, you can play with me, you can play with Evander Holyfield, you have an opportunity to win all kinds of different prizes. It's going to be a lot of fun. And like you just said, Evander, you have an opportunity to be a part of Team Holyfield.
Well, you know, that's the most interesting thing is that, and me and being successful, I find that it's all been bringing people together. And, you know, because, you know, you have your ups and downs, but one thing that could stay is the people that you meet and the impression that you leave on it. And then the point of the matter is just trying to inspire people to be their very best.
Again, so if you love sports and you want to try to win some prizes and team up with Evander Holyfield, go to teamholyfield.com. That's teamholyfield.com. And for the promo code, type in K-O-A-L. And then that way we know you heard it right here on the show. And good luck beating the only four-time heavyweight champ, Evander Holyfield. Evander, I know we're running short on time. When pundits and historians for the sport of boxing, I consider myself a boxing historian. I love the sport. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want your career to be remembered 50 years from now when you're long gone?
I would like for a person to say, you know, Evander Holyfield was a Christian, and he was that good guy that everybody thought they could whoop because he didn't say much, and he broke all the records and like that, and you know, in general, because you know, if records not being broken, then how could you say your generation did it very best? And so I was able to be the first undefeated cruiserweight champion of the world, and I was able to be heavyweight champion of the world four times, and which is the elite because no one ever done it before.
One more question for you. Yesterday, here on Drive Time Sports, we previewed an MMA event that's going down this weekend. We had four different fighters join us in the studio. These are all guys that are really on the cusp. I mean, these guys are very, very close in taking their MMA career to the next level. Be it an MMA fighter, be it a boxer, what kind of advice do you offer young people trying to get into the sport today?
Well, the thing is, you know, MMA is the only sport that I ever seen that I said, well, I don't know if I want to do that. I think just as people look at that sport that way, I know how people used to look at boxing. They say, how in the world you want to get hit in the face and get hit upside the head? And I would tell them, I said, well, I'm the one that's going to be doing that to the other people. And so you just have to keep things positive. I think is when people can continue to listen and follow direction, and not let nobody outwork, and you can always win. And so I think if them guys are that now, the only thing that you have to do is not get lazy and stay into the point of being in the very best shape. Because when you're in the very best shape, you know, you don't get injured that much.
Again, Evander, the real deal, Holyfield, the warrior, joining us here on the show. Make sure you go to teamholyfield.com. Sign up for the sports app at United Games. Make sure you type in the promo code KOAL at teamholyfield.com. Champ, I'm coming for you on the app. I'm going to make sure I take you down.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And try to. I want everybody to come and try to take a chance. Anybody, you know, I give opportunities.
God bless you, Evander. Thank you so much for taking out the time. It was truly a pleasure to talk to you. You've been an inspiration to me personally pretty much my entire life. You were one of my idols growing up, so to get to talk to you, it was truly a blessing. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Great stuff. Evander, the real deal, Holyfield, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. And again, you want to go check out United Games. It's a free app. You can play along. Basically, it's fantasy sports with a little bit of a twist. I think you're really going to like it. This app is going to drop officially in October. And again, you can go play alongside Evander Holyfield. You can also play alongside myself. I've looked into the app. It's all free. You can play, so go check it out. If you love sports, you want to try to win some prizes, go to teamholyfield.com. And let them know that you heard it right here on Drive Time Sports, a partnership with United Games and Evander Holyfield. We've got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back and we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports.
People you trust, prices you trust, and service you trust. This is Jane Auto's pledge to you. Hi, this is Jesse at Jane Auto in Huntington. My team is dedicated to show you how car buying should be, from purchasing your vehicle to service after the sale. We promise to take care of you. We have a wide selection of gently used cars, trucks, and SUVs, mostly with manufacturer warranty. And even after your purchase, our service department is here for you on oil changes, tires, and repair work. Come see for yourself how car buying should be at Jane Auto in Huntington.
Attention Castle Valley residents, this breaking Thanksgiving news comes to you from KFC. After numerous emergency turkey debacles, KFC is here to rescue your Thanksgiving dinner with their own turkey dinner deal. Pre-order your stress-free dinner, including a large deep-fried Cajun turkey, family-sized mashed potatoes and gravy, coleslaw, and 12 fluffy buttermilk biscuits for just $69.99. Order just the Cajun turkey for $49.99. KFC's Thanksgiving turkey dinners are only available for pre-order, so stop by KFC before all orders are filled.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Extremely excited to bring in our next guest. He played 14 seasons in the NFL, all 14 of which with the Raiders organization. Played the last five of his career in Los Angeles as the Raiders made the move from Oakland to LA. He's also put up some terrific numbers, played during one of the most interesting eras, and has also been a part of a lengthy discussion and debate as to why he is not in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. He won three Super Bowls during his time in the NFL. He's a four-time Pro Bowl selection and a four-time All-Pro. He wore number 21. He is Cliff Branch. Cliff, what an honor to get you on the show today. Thank you so much for the time.
John, well, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, the pleasure is definitely mine, Cliff. I appreciate the time. I'm going to start this off by asking you a Hall of Fame question. Over 500 catches, you have 8,685 yards, 67 touchdowns, you played 14 years, yet you have not been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and you've only been a semifinalist twice. Why do you believe that is?
Well, it's really kind of hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of, why is Tom Flores not in the Hall of Fame? Why is Jim Plunkett not in the Hall of Fame? Why is Lester Hayes not in the Hall of Fame? These are great Raiders who contributed and made impact in the success of the Raiders. Why am I not in the Hall of Fame? It's hard to say. My numbers speak for itself. My body of work was phenomenal. I was one of the field wide receivers in the 70s and 80s. Again, four-time All-Pro, three-time Super Bowl winner. So my body of work should be part of me being in the Hall of Fame.
No, I agree. I've said numerous times on the show that I feel you're one of the top two wide receivers that's eligible, not in the Hall of Fame. But we'll dissect that topic in just a bit. Let's start by talking about your college career. You set a blazing pace while you were at Colorado, a couple of Division I college football records, yet you dropped to the fourth round coming out of Colorado. Were you ecstatic to be a member of a pro football squad, or were you a little disappointed falling to the fourth round?
Well, I thought sure I could have been lower than the second round. I was told I could be a second round draft choice, and I anticipated being a second round draft choice. When the second round went through, and the third round went through, and then the fourth round came up, and I got drafted, and then I got drafted by the Oakland Raiders, who I didn't really know too much about the Oakland Raiders. But then after being drafted by them, I looked up a little history of the Raiders that same day that I got drafted, and I'm like, wow, I'm going to an organization that wins a division, that have prolific receivers, has a maverick owner, and I have a colorful head coach in Tom and John Madden. So I said, wow, I'm a lucky man. I always wanted to be a prolific receiver, so here I was going to get a chance to go and play with the Oakland Raiders, learn from Fred Belinda Carr and Warren Wells and Raymond Chester, and then they had the Mad Bomber and Daryl LaMonica and George Blanda. So I was going to an organization who had attacking style, passing attack, and that's something that I always dreamed of and wanted to be a part of.
You know, I think when you go back and you look at your career, the time frame that you played for the Raiders, it's interesting on multiple levels. You mentioned John Madden. What was it like playing for one of the most recognizable characters in professional football? Not only John Madden, but you also played under Al Davis as well. So I guess when you take a look at the front office aspect of the Raiders, you played at a very interesting time.
I did. I mean, again, Al Davis was a maverick of an owner. And then, you know, you're talking about John Madden, his career as a head coach, winning 100 games in 10 years and winning a division every year and finally getting over the hump and winning the Super Bowl 11 and then leaving professional head coaching duties and become one of the most colorful color commentator and analysis in the NFL during his 10 years broadcasting and being a colored man with Pat Sotomayor. So, you know, those two things, what John Brown as a head coach and his leadership and then his knowledge of the football game to take it into the studio.
Our guest right now is former Oakland/Los Angeles Raiders wide receiver Cliff Branch. Cliff, I want to ask you about playing under Al Davis. There's a lot of stories written and a lot of opinions about Al Davis. Anytime I have somebody on the show that actually played for the franchise while he was alive and owned the squad, I have to ask, what was it like to play for such a colorful owner like Al Davis?
Well, it was great being tutored on Al Davis. And his belief as a football owner, he wanted to have an offense that was attacking and throwing the ball deep, and then take what you want and not sacrifice what the defense gives you. You know what I mean? He was gonna throw the ball over the top, whether you was trying to take that away or not. He was gonna always be attacking type offensive genius kind of a guy.
I've always found Al Davis to be one of the most polarizing individuals in professional sports, not only in the NFL, but in professional sports. A lot of negative rhetoric about him still to this day. The one thing that you can't question about Al Davis, it was his desire to win, and he was going to do everything possible to put his team in position to win.
Well, that was always his philosophy. He would always tell us, "Just win, baby," and that was his slogan. And a lot of people always quoted of saying that was something Al Davis always quoted: "Just win, baby."
Just win, baby, and the commitment to excellence, which of course you lived during that era.
That's right. Then you know, when I first came to the organization, we were all about the pride and pause of the Oakland Raiders. Then we graduated to commitment to excellence, then just win, baby. So those three slogans were all invented by Al Davis.
Now, I talked about you playing for the Raiders during a really just interesting era. We'll talk about the Super Bowl victories in a moment. We've talked about Al Davis. We've talked about John Madden. But you also played for the team during a transition period and moving from Oakland to Los Angeles. Now, this took place in 1982. We're seeing this right now with the Rams moving back from St. Louis to Los Angeles. What's it like for a player to transition when you've played roughly 10 seasons in one city and then you have to move? In your case, it was, you know, south of the state. What was that like for you as a player and for the Raider organization as a whole?
Well, I mean, for me, I was going into the last 5 years of my career, and I thought the change for me was good. Moving to another city, starting a new life and a lifestyle in a new city that was going to command a lot of attention for its outside interest. You know what I mean? Here you're going from Oakland, you know, a small city, you know, on the East Bay, across from San Francisco. Now you're going to a huge metropolitan that was part of the second largest city in the United States besides New York and the market area. So now there was going to be more opportunities to have outside interest for his commercials, endorsements, movie deals and stuff like that. So it was an opportunity to be able to market yourself better going to Los Angeles. It was easy. I mean, because matter of fact, the first year that we played in Los Angeles, we still trained the training camp in Santa Rosa, still trained main headquarters in Oakland, but always just went down and played the games in 82. So we were there only for the games, but still did all that training and had our headquarters in Oakland and stuff. So We just flew down for games. We was always on the road, whether it was a home game or whether it was a away game, and every game was always on the road in 1982.
Cliff, we've got to pause for a quick commercial break. I'd love for you to hang with me for one more segment where we could talk about you winning three Super Bowls and also your Hall of Fame type numbers.
You got it.
Great. We're going to pause for just a second. Plenty more coming up with former Oakland and Los Angeles Raiders wide receiver Cliff Branch here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM.
Do you enjoy working with animals and being outdoors? Then USU Eastern has the perfect degree for you, a Bachelor's in Wildlife Sciences. The Bachelor's program is taught on the USU Eastern Price Campus. In this program, you will learn how to analyze, manage, conserve, and restore rangeland ecosystems. The degree also offers opportunities to work hands-on with faculty members in the field and participate in cutting-edge projects. If you would like to get paid to work with wildlife in the great outdoors, contact Mike King at USU Eastern today, 888-202-8783. USU Eastern, transforming lives for good.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
Hi, this is Jason Kidd. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Bescarini, KOAL, 750 AM.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM and 750 AM, also streaming live at CastleKentrayRadio.com. We have a special guest, Cliff Branch, with us right now. Cliff played for the Oakland and Los Angeles Raiders from 1972 to 1985, won three Super Bowls in the process, and he also happened to be the only Raider wide receiver on all three of those Super Bowl squads. Cliff, that's what we'll start with. You guys defeat the Minnesota Vikings 32-14 in Super Bowl 11. You defeat Philadelphia 27-10 in Super Bowl 15. And then you knock off the Redskins 38-9 in Super Bowl 18. I'm assuming that out of all those Super Bowl wins, the first one is probably the closest to your heart.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you think, out of a 14-year career, I was in seven AFC championship games. So I was one game away from going to Super Bowl seven times. Ended up going three times. You know what I mean? And losing to the Miami Dolphins in the perfect season the year they went to the Super Bowl and had the perfect record. Then losing to Pittsburgh 2 years in a row. And then the fourth year, finally beating Pittsburgh in the championship game. And then playing you know what I mean? The Denver Broncos the year after we won the Super Bowl and playing in two more AFC championship games. So you're talking about, you know, I was in seven AFC championship games, one game away from going to Super Bowl seven times and ended up going three times. So half of my career was in the championship games every year.
You win that first Super Bowl with, again, one of the most colorful quarterbacks that we have ever seen in the history of the game in Kenny Stabler. You win two more with Jim Plunkett. What was the difference in playing with these two quarterbacks? What was the most sizable difference?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference during that era was, you know, the 70s and the 80s, you didn't have no offensive coordinator. So the quarterbacks were given a game plan on a Wednesday and a Thursday, and then on Sunday, the quarterbacks went out and called their own plays. So in today's game, everything is done with a coordinator or a defense coordinator. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? The play caller, besides Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees, who pretty much call their own plays, in today's game, I had quarterbacks to call their plays on every single down, you know, to Kenny Stabler and Jim Plunkett.
In Super Bowl 15, you put up some great numbers, 5 catches, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns. And in Super Bowl 18, 6 catches, 94 yards, and a score. I believe you had a 50-yard reception in Super Bowl 18 as well. Sizable difference in statistics for you between those two games and that first Super Bowl victory. But you said that the first game meant the most to you based on a team aspect. I think that's a fantastic answer. I actually love that.
Yes, just because of the fact that, again, prior to that 76 season, 7 Super Bowl, we win three straight AFC championship against the Dolphins and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then we lost those games. So the fourth year, we finally came back and won the championship game and went on the Super Bowl and win. And then the fifth year, five straight years in a row, we were in the championship game, and we're trying to repeat in 77, and that's the year the Denver Broncos had the orange crush year, and they went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Dallas Cowboys. But you're talking about from 73 to 77, I was in five AFC championship games in a row.
I want to pick your brain here for a second, Cliff. You win one Super Bowl with Kenny Stabler, two with Jim Plunkett. Let's put you in a fictional Super Bowl. The Raiders are down by 5 points. There's 2 minutes to go. You have the ball on your own 20-yard line. Who would you rather have under center with you at wideout, Plunkett or Stabler?
Well, I mean, it had to be Kenny Stabler. He was the orchestrator in the 70s of the two-minute offense. They talk about Joe Montana and his success with the two-minute offense, but Kenny Stabler, to me, was the first during the 74 Joe Montana who could orchestrate a two-minute offense and take you right down the field, get a score, either to tie the game or seal the game with a victory. So Kenny Stabler, without a doubt.
Now, at the beginning of the interview during last segment, I asked why you were not in the Hall of Fame, and you brought up several Raiders that are not in the Hall of Fame. You know, if we look at the receivers that you played against from your era, and I stack your numbers up against them, look, you have more yards than Swan. I mean, you have more touchdowns than Joyner. You've had more touchdowns than Stallworth, more touchdowns than Swan. Your numbers trump Lynn Swan. Your numbers are comparable with these individuals. Do you believe it's fair to say you're the best wide receiver not in the Hall of Fame is the way it stands right now?
I would have to agree with you totally. I think the numbers speak for itself. The competition, the fear factor that I brought, and defenses playing against me during that Raider era, I mean, that was the number one thing because we were going to throw the ball deep, and we were going to throw the ball over the top. And when teams had to approach us defensively in the passing game, the first person they had to stop was to make sure that I wasn't going to get deep behind the secondary. So it was always going to be double coverage, a zone-type rotation against me to prevent us attacking deep.
My opinion definitely is not a popular one, but I've said it several times on this show, and I've garnered criticism for saying it. I believe that Tim Brown is the greatest wide receiver that I have ever seen play the game, and I think that for years Tim Brown played on Raider teams that didn't necessarily have the best quarterback play. I think if you put Tim Brown on that San Francisco 49ers squad with the likes of a Joe Montana or a Steve Young, he holds just about every wide receiver statistical record possible. Yet Tim Brown was another Raider wideout. He had to wait his turn to get into the Hall of Fame, and I didn't necessarily think that was fair. Did you feel a level of frustration for Tim Brown, and I guess even a sigh of relief when he finally got the call to go to Canton?
Yes, no question about it. I'm probably the greatest receiver in the Raider history because of the number of factors and you know, the numbers that he put up and playing with all these different quarterbacks and then playing on that lot of winning teams. You know what I mean? He was year in, year out, very productive on not so many greater football teams.
As far Ray Guy's another one that I think it took a very long time. This guy had a rightful spot in the Hall of Fame for a very long time. And finally, he gets the call to Canton as well. A lot of Raider fans would claim that there's an obvious bias against the Raider organization. If it's Hall of Fame numbers, I just feel that Raider fans believe there's a true bias against them. As a former player, do you believe in that? Somebody that played in the league and seen things firsthand? And if so, why is that?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint the reason, but, you know, it has to start from the top, and it's because of the Maverick, Al Davis. I mean, he did a lot of things that, you know, in the league, when it was time to move his team to Los Angeles, he didn't take the vote that they need to receive to move. He moved his team anyway. And then there was a lawsuit against that, and then he ended up winning. He's the only owner who has taken on the National Football League and prevail as a win. You know, you know, he was a maverick, and he would fight you in any way he can, and he believed in his due process, and he prevailed. So when the 32 owners in partnership in the National Football League, and then that was Al Davis who took on the 31 owners and won. So there's a lot of dislike for Mr. Davis because of that. So and I think it trickles down to a lot of his players left off the ballot who deserve to be in the Hall of Fame because of Mr. Davis.
I don't know how closely you follow the NFL today, but would you say that there's still the aftermath of Al Davis is still lurking with the Raider organization, considering that the Raiders seem to be the odd team out in the latest relocation saga in the NFL? I mean, a lot of people would claim that that had a lot to do with the Raiders being left out of Los Angeles just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I've heard of that too, and even I think Mark Davis feel that way, but that ghost still lingers over the Raiders because of the fact that Mr. Davis, the maverick, and the way he did things, and the results maybe, and the Raiders not getting that shared stated with the Chargers.
How closely are you associated with the franchise today?
I still travel with the team on road trips, still do a lot of community public relations for the Raiders on game day with their luxury suite stuff. We have the alumni department who has us ex-Raiders still involved with a lot of things involved in the Raiders on game day. So totally 100% still involved.
Before I let you go, I'm going to throw a couple of questions out there. We can do it rapid-fire style. Tell me who your favorite teammate was during the course of your career.
My favorite teammate?
Yes.
Well, it had to be the roommates that I had with the Raiders during training camp. It had to be George Atkinson and Raymond Chester.
Who was the best defensive player you ever went up against?
Ooh, it had to be the guys that I played against in practice. It had to be Mike Haynes and Willie Brown. Both of those guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and from Monday through Saturday, practicing against those guys, and then on Sunday going against the opponent made it easy for me because I had gone against the Hall of Fame Mike Haynes and Willie Brown 5 days out of 6 days of the week, so it had to be my teammates, Mike Haynes and Willie Brown.
I'm going to take Cliff Branch out of the equation here. I'm going to give you four wide receiver names. You tell me who you would put in the Hall of Fame next. Terrell Owens, Calvin Johnson, Isaac Bruce, or Henry Ellard. Who do you put in the Hall of Fame out of those four guys? Who goes in next?
I'd say Henry Ellard.
How come?
His body of work, what he accomplished as a player before Terrell Owens, other two guys that you mentioned, I'd say Henry Ellard.
And last question, do you ultimately believe that we will see you in Canton with the gold jacket eventually?
I truly believe that it will happen for me one day.
Cliff Branch, former wide receiver for the Oakland Raiders and the Los Angeles Raiders from 1972 to 1985. Such a pleasure to get you on the show today. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely great stuff from Cliff Branch. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we'll shift gears, talk some NBA basketball with Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straight away three ball. Good! Phillip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk. 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
KOAL, Price, Utah.